I'm going to take your picture. Our first day back. I know the seasons change very quickly in Buffalo, but last time we got together was March 15th. It was wintertime, and here we are sweating next time we come together. So let me step back here, take your all's picture as best I can. All right. What's that? No, not doing that. Just a couple of quick snapshots. I'm sorry. I've already got a couple of other ones. You didn't know I was taking your picture there in the back. So it's good to be back. Good to see your all's faces. And what a blessing it is to be able to gather here. I knew that the day that we'd come back together, we would appreciate it a little bit more than maybe we did when we left. And so just good to be back here with you today, worshiping and spending time in God's Word. So if you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're turning there, I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, you're a God of grace, you're a God of mercy, a God of steadfast love. You are faithful to your people. And as we come back here together today for the first time inside this building in 3 months, we thank you, Lord, for all of those things, for how you have walked with us, for how you've cared for us, for how you have tested us, how you've stretched our faith. And I thank you, Lord, for this church, your people, whom your Spirit dwells in, that we can come back together here, Lord, praising your name, singing about your endless grace, singing about how you are a fount of every blessing. And we do want to sing your praises. And as we turn our attention now to your word, please lead us, God, to see what you're doing in this world more clearly. See the supernatural forces that are at work, the cosmic battle that is taking place and has been taking place around us. And maybe you've opened up our eyes to that more clearly in the recent days. But we want to, Lord, be prepared for the battle. And so, Lord, arm us with your armor and use us in this world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, Matt, put the first slide up, if you don't mind. We used to take a trip to Florida every summer. And as you cross through Alabama, about midway down the state, there is this massive sign there on the side of the road. As you can see there, it says, "Go to church or the devil will get you." And we would laugh because you have to admit it is a little bit funny. If you're driving down the road, you see this sign, you chuckle a little bit, because I guarantee you, you wouldn't see that sign in these parts, would you? And the man who wanted that sign up, you know, he only had so much space to communicate what it is that he wanted to say. And so I'm going to interpret a little bit, maybe add a little bit to his message. But the point is clear that if you do not go to church, if you're not hearing the gospel, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ, then the devil will get you. And he will. But something else is very true too. If you go to church, if you hear the gospel, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you can rest assured that the devil will be after you as well. In the modern Western world, most people have become dismissive of supernatural forces. They don't think about them. They don't talk about them. They don't even acknowledge them. That kind of thought is nowhere to be found in the prevailing culture. And all the chaos that is taking place in our cities with disease, racial tensions, with anarchy, political turmoil, the thought of demonic activity being mentioned on the TV news station somewhere in the evening is ridiculous, isn't it? It's laughable. In our culture, the devil only makes appearances in children's costumes on Halloween. That's the way that we think about it. Some of you may have read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. How many of you all have read that before? A few of you have. It's a clever book of fiction that documents the letters of an uncle, an evil uncle demon named Screwtape, and he's giving some instruction to his nephew Wormwood, telling him how he should properly tempt the human underneath his evil care. and the methods that they are supposed to employ to keep this particular man out of the hands of the enemy, and the enemy to them is the Lord. And in his introduction to the book, this is what Lewis says about the way that we think about devils or demons. He says, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves, talking about the devils, are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. And so as we look out at our world that we live in, which one is it? No one acknowledges devils, demons, supernatural, anything like that. Again, those are things for fairy tales. But whether you have made room in your worldview or not for the devil, he is out to get you. He is out to get you. Because if we want to be biblical, if we want to see the world more as it really is according to the Lord, but the way the Lord defines what is happening in the world, things that we cannot see with our eyes, we have to acknowledge the activity that is taking place in the supernatural realm and its impact on the world that we live in. And yes, brothers and sisters, inside of our own hearts, there is much taking place that we cannot see, that we cannot sense with our ears, our eyes, our nose. Things are happening around us that impact the way that we live. And we're going to spend some time in the weeks ahead looking at the spiritual battle that is taking place for your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and how God equips you to withstand the attack of the enemy, because you are under attack. The devil, we are told in Scripture, is prowling around like a lion looking for whom he can devour. And he desires to devour you. And today we're going to be looking at some truths in Paul's opening statements of a very well-known passage about the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be reading a few verses, just the first few verses, but verses 10 through 13. So hopefully you've got a Bible open. If you don't, it's on the screen in front of you. Verses 10 through 13 in Ephesians 6. Where the Apostle Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Heavenly Father, we ask for your power, for your presence, for your grace, for your spirit to move amongst us this morning. Show us, Lord, things that we cannot see with our natural eyes, but you want us to be aware of with our spiritual eyes. So open up your word to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got three truths that I want to guide our time together this morning from this scripture. Three truths. And the first one is that there is more to our world than what meets the eye. More to our world than what meets the eye. Look at verse 12. Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, the things that we can see. What do we wrestle against, Paul? We wrestle against the rulers, the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He says there is a cosmic wrestling match that is going on right now, and we are wrestling against forces that we do not see. So there is more to our world than what meets the eye. So there is activity that is going on that no camera can capture. It seems that most people today think that if they can't capture it on their iPhone or their Android device, then it's not really happening, or it never happened at all. If you can't get it on video, well, what's the point? Well, there are lots of things that are happening around us right now that no camera can detail, no telescope can find, no microscope can search out. The supernatural is beyond our senses. There's an Old Testament story about the king of Syria, and every time that he would try to wage war against the people of Israel, they would find out ahead of time. And he starts to think, there's a mole inside of our organization here, because every time we're going to battle, they find out what's going to happen before we ever do it. And the people said, no, there's no mole here. It's actually a prophet of God who tells the king of Israel every time that we're about to go out and do something. He says, well, all right, then let's go and attack not Israel. Let's go and attack the prophet. So they went out and they found where he was living, surrounded he and his servants. And listen to what happens. It says, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. So imagine you wake up in the morning, you get your morning cup of coffee, you eat your breakfast, you go outside to sit for a few minutes, and you look out, and there is this massive army of foreigners around you ready to attack not somebody else, but you, ready to get you. I think I would freak out. I think you would too. So he runs back inside, and he tells Elisha, he says, my master, what shall we do? And Elijah says, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. He's saying, this guy right here, he's not seeing properly the world as it really is. God, open up his eyes where he can see beyond people into the supernatural. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so if we were able to see the world as it really is, there's all sorts of things out there that would freak us out right now. Not only are there supernatural forces of demonic and evil, but there are supernatural forces of the Lord and his angels surrounding God's people right now, protecting us. And I love what he says there, Lord, open his eyes that he can see, I mean really see, so that he can really see, not just the physical realm, but the spiritual one. And when he did, he saw the army of the Lord. And what has happened to God's people is that Jesus Christ has come to open up our eyes to the spiritual battle that is taking place around us. He gives us that ability. And no, I can't see it right now. I don't have these glasses on that I'm able to see the spiritual realm and the Lord's forces. But we're aware. He's given us another sense. He's given us his word. We believe what he says, that these things are taking place around us. And so Jesus has opened up our eyes, and we participate, brothers and sisters, in that fight. We're participating in it. So when Paul says here, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, he doesn't mean that we never struggle against real people. That's not what he's saying. Their words and their actions, they do come against us, and they are responsible for their attacks. Paul himself struggled against plenty of flesh and blood enemies. But what he means is that our greatest enemies are not the people that we can see, but Satan and his war party that we cannot see. Those are our great enemies. And he has power, Satan does, over the people that are blinded to the gospel in this world. Our primary fight is with him, not with the people who are under his sway. So Paul says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What do we wrestle against? We wrestle against the rulers, the authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I think Paul's doing a couple of things here. I think, first of all, he wants us to understand how formidable this enemy is. So he doesn't just tell us that they're rulers or just that they're powers. He stacks description upon description on top of one another to tell us you are in for a real fight. Satan is not just a little tempter that you see on people's shoulders and in movies. He has great power in this world. We're told elsewhere that he is the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world. People out there right now are in his kingdom of darkness. They're blinded. They are doing his bidding. And so there is great power that comes against not just God's people, but against this entire world that is inhabited by demons. But I think Paul is also showing us something else. I think he's also showing us that there is a structure to Satan's army. There's structure to it. He's well organized. And we're not given a great deal about this, of details about this in Scripture, but it's more than possible that there are certain responsibilities and territories that demons are inhabiting and responsible for. There may be a demon or demons assigned to our church in Western New York. Who knows? We don't know. There may be demons responsible for tempting government leaders to pride and recklessness, and that's happening. Demons encouraging the spread of a virus, we've witnessed that. Demons tempting countless thousands to racism, to deny or ignore it. Layers of demons for all layers of society. All of that is absolutely possible, and maybe that's what Paul is getting at here when he describes these in so many different ways. This seems to be something of his aim. I teach that there is a structure throughout this world that Satan uses to steal, that he uses to kill, and that he uses to destroy. And that leads me to the second point. The forces of evil are not just present. They are actively seeking your destruction. And I want to emphasize your there. You know, Satan, he doesn't just want the church, this vague group of people that we talk with. It doesn't seem to have any faces to it. The church out there, Satan is against. He's not just out there trying to hinder the work of foreign missionaries. Satan is out for you. You. You as an individual. He wants you. And he knows God's word. He knows that his eternity, that his destiny is the bottomless pit of hell. He knows that, but as long as he is given power here on earth, he is going to rage against God's people and blind unbelievers from seeing the light of the gospel. He is going to do that till the very end. And if he can trip you up and crush you along the way, he will. So what's going on right now is not just a struggle between the forces of good and evil in the cosmic, supernatural realm, things that have no impact on you at all whatsoever. I mean, that demons aren't just watching you. They're not just observing you. They aren't just present in some of the same spaces that you are in. They are actively seeking to destroy you. The devil, he says in verse 11, has schemes. He has schemes. Word behind that is methodia, and you can kind of hear the word method behind that. Satan has methods that he's using to destroy you. He is plotting to keep you from standing, and he had schemes 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, schemes that would be used to trip them up, cause them injury, to bring down their faith. He had schemes for them, and he has schemes for us. Satan is crafty. He is smarter than you. He is stronger than you. And he is scheming against you. And if you're in a position where you don't really think that the devil is going to come at you, or as that sign said, coming to get you, he already has you in the position that he wants you in. And that is blissful, or maybe unblissful, ignorance. And he's just fine with that. He'd be just fine if you stayed right there. But God's word won't let that happen. Thomas Brooks, an old Puritan from centuries past, he wrote a book called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And at the very beginning, he starts off by saying this. He says, "Beloved in our dearest Lord, Christ, the Scripture, your own hearts, and Satan's devices are the four prime things that should be first and most studied and searched." I like it when somebody makes Christianity plain, makes things very simple for me. And he says there are four things that every Christian should do well to study and search, and that is the Scripture, the Bible, Jesus, your own hearts, and Satan's devices. And we're a good Baptist church, right? I think we're pretty good at studying the Scripture. We claim to be a people of the Bible, so we study the Bible. I think we're pretty good at that. I would at least like to say that we are pretty decent at studying Christ. I mean, he is the foundation of everything that we do, right? So hopefully we're good at studying Christ. But do you really think that we excel in studying our own hearts and knowing ourselves, knowing our weaknesses, where we are prone to fall and stumble? I'm not so sure. And I don't think at all that we are in tune with the schemes of the devil. Those four things that Brooks tells us we should be solid on, we might be a good 1.5. Some of you may be better than that, but as a whole, I think we are very weak in knowing our own hearts and knowing the schemes of Satan. The demons have a scheme for each of you. And you have to know your own heart well in order to be able to see the scheme. So what is it that makes your faith wobbly? What gets you off track? What situations are you put in from time to time where you start to listen to the voices of evil? When you start to doubt, you start to get afraid. You start to get angry and lash out. What makes you wobbly and off kilter? What things worry you? Do you know those things? What makes you start to forget about the Lord? Where you're blinded to what he's doing and all you can see is that thing, whatever that thing is. What is it that Satan will kick on just a little bit to make you fall to pieces? Is it your health? He's kicked on that a little bit here lately, hasn't he? With some. Or at least made you think a lot more about your health. Maybe it's guilty thoughts about the past, things that you have done before. He can bring those to mind, and next thing, that's all you can think about is how awful you were, or how awful that thing was that you did. Maybe it's your finances. And I don't mean that just, it's just when things start to get tight. It gets hard when things get tight. But sometimes for some of you, it's much harder when things get really good. That you get so much that you just forget all about your need for the Lord. You have everything you need for personal comfort right there in your bank account. Maybe there's certain relationships that he might press on just a little bit more right now than he does at other times. Maybe it's addiction or pornography. Maybe your heart gets jealous really easy of other people. Or maybe you're just prone to say a little too much at times. Do you know yourself well? Do you know your own heart? Because if you don't know where your heart is weak, you probably have no clue what Satan's schemes are for you. And he can just toss you whenever he wants, this way or that way. You have to know your own heart. We're going to deal more directly with that in a later sermon. But here I just want to point out what Satan, or what Paul says here, that Satan is a schemer. He is a schemer. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. And he will do all of those things to bring you down. And he has you in his crosshairs. Do you know your own heart? And so start thinking and praying about having a knowledge of your weaknesses and where you are prone to sin. And if you can't think of anything, how about you ask some brother or sister in the Lord, maybe that's here this morning, or somebody else that you trust, And if they're brave and loving and gentle enough, I'm sure that they can point you in the right direction. And I say brave. But you need to have ears that are willing to listen. Because I'm sure that somebody else knows where you are weak and what Satan might use to scheme against you. That's point number two. Point number two, that the forces of evil aren't just present, that they are actually seeking your destruction. And lastly, your only hope for standing is through the Lord's strength and provision. So if you think that there is something in you, that you're just stronger than this person or that one, maybe you observe, just in your experience, you observe somebody who's always weak and seems to be faltering, and you start to think about yourself, I'm not that weak, I'm pretty strong in comparison to them. You are not strong in and of yourself, not one person here. He is far too clever, Satan is, for us. He's far too powerful. No matter how naturally strong you are, he is stronger than you are, but he is not stronger than the Lord. So your only hope for standing is through God's strength and provision. And Paul addresses this at the beginning of the passage, and then again in verse 13, he says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That's where we need to be standing firm, in the strength of the Lord. Then he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And so if Satan is coming against you and the other people in this church with the forces of darkness, we are going to need a great deal of strength. Years ago, we had some friends that came over for a cookout, and their daughter was really little back then, and I think I asked her to pick up a cat or something. We had a big cat, and her response was, my arms are too little. She knew that she wasn't strong enough. She was too weak. And that's the type of attitude that we need to have as we approach a doctrine like this, that we are way too weak. Because it's only when we are weak when we can genuinely be strong. Only when we acknowledge our weakness will Christ's strength fill us. So we need to be willing to say, I am weak. I need the help of Jesus Christ. Not just his help, I need his constant indwelling so that his life can be lived in me. I need his provision. So that unseen battle that's raging against us is too much for our little arms. We need God to help us to stand firm. When Jehoshaphat and his army were about to wage war against the armies of Moab and Ammon, this is what the Lord told him. He said, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. This is God's fight, and he will use you, strengthen you for it, because you are engaged in it. You are engaged in it, and he will fight through you. He's going to fight for his people. He always has. And Paul describes the times that we live in right now as a present darkness. And aren't they? Aren't they dark? I mean, if we couldn't see it 3 months ago when we were last in this building, can't we see it now? Times are dark. They always have been. But it's so obvious right now. We live in darkness. And we're all going to encounter something that he says here, the evil day. And maybe individually he's talking about that. Every day is evil. Every day has demonic activity. Every day has temptation. Every day poses the possibility that you will fall. Every day is evil. But maybe there's one specific day that's coming, or maybe one specific day that you can point back to where you know it was the evil day. Will you be prepared for it? Will you have the Lord's strength when that day comes? Or will you be flailing around, drowning in the water? Will you be strong when that day comes to you? Because you have no strength in and of yourself that you will be able to stand against a foe like Satan. His schemes are too many. His power is too great. His mind is too sharp. Your arms are too little, but God's are not. And he promises to provide you strength when that day comes. When that evil day falls upon you, he promises that he will enable you to stand. In the military, there's a place where the weapons are kept. They didn't let you take your rifle back to the barracks room at night. They knew that would lead to trouble. And so you kept your weapons in the armory, a giant vault full of all kinds of artillery. And you had no access to your rifle unless somebody with greater authority than you gave you the ability to go and get it. God has granted us access to his armory through Jesus Christ. Jesus has the keys to let us in. In fact, Jesus is the armory. He is the armory. He enables us to have access to all of our battle gear. And if you don't have him, you are certain to fall. So the primary thing for each person here this morning to come to grips with is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him as Savior? Have you acknowledged your weakness as a sinner? Have you trusted in him? Have you surrendered to him? Because only when you admit your weakness like that will you ever be strong in this world to wage war against a foe like Satan. There is no other power on earth that can withstand the evil one. And Jesus Christ showed us that he was able. You read back in the gospel accounts and see that he was tempted by Satan and withstood him. And only in Christ will his people withstand him today. In the weeks ahead, we're going to learn more about the weapons that are in God's armory for us that we can put on, this armor of God. What is it? But just for today, make certain that you have access to them. That you can say that you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, and that he was raised to new life and sits at the right hand of God, and that his power through faith dwells inside of your heart and life. Can you say that? Because his offer of salvation is there. Do you believe? Would you believe? And if you do, he promises that you will be able to stand firm in this present darkness. Because you can rest assured, the devil wants to get you. Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would give us your grace and your mercy to believe. To believe what we read in this passage, not just believe what we see with our eyes. There is a spiritual battle taking place. There is a spiritual battle taking place right now. Every time truth is proclaimed, the battle ensues. Win the battle in the hearts of your people, Lord. Fight on our behalf. Win the victory over those that would lie and deceive and steal and kill and destroy. Give us trust in Jesus. To know that only in him do we have a strong foundation. And only in him will we be able to win the victory because he has already won it for us. So Lord, we look to you during this evil day and ask God that you would fight in our hearts and fight in this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.